Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a brief discussion of compelling legal issues and practical insights. Please note that the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be, nor should it be construed as legal advice. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. Please enjoy the program.
Welcome to the March 2021 edition of Third Thursdays with Ruthie. I'm Ruthie Goodbow, a labor attorney with Ogletree Deacons and co-chair of the firm's traditional labor practice. These Third Thursday podcasts cover topics related to traditional labor law and other labor relations issues. I try and bring you what's new, what's coming, what's different, and hopefully provide resources for responding to what's happening in the world of labor. Since President Biden took office, it's felt a little bit like drinking out of a fire hose when it comes to changes at the National Labor Relations Board. There's a lot to cover, and things seem to be changing almost every week. I thought we could spend today's podcast talking about new legislation that's been introduced, the Secure and Fair Elections for Workers Act, also known as the Safe Workers Act. Before I go any further, I do want to give a shout out. I'm not sure if they still use that term or not, but I do want to acknowledge my colleague and fellow co-chair of the labor practice, Tom Davis. Tom pulled together a lot of this information and has provided some very interesting insights into this legislation. You may know Tom is a frequent guest on the podcast and often co-hosts or hosts in my absence, but unfortunately he couldn't be with us this month. So let's talk about the Safe Workers Act and its aim to force the NLRB to use an electronic voting system. As a result of the COVID pandemic, we saw the NLRB move almost exclusively to mail balloting for representation elections. This legislation goes even further. On January 13, 2021, a bipartisan group, about 81 co-sponsors, introduced H.R. 308, that's the Safe Workers Act. If enacted, the bill will force the National Labor Relations Board to implement a system and procedure to conduct union representation elections remotely using either an electronic or telephonic voting system. The bill requires, and it's important that you hear I'm saying requires, the elimination of what was pre-COVID the preferred method for union elections, and that's secret ballot manual elections held usually on the employer's worksite, supervised by agents of the NLRB, and replace that tried and true method with a process where employees cast their votes by using either an internet voting system or a telephone voting system. It may be helpful to do a quick review of the NLRB's election process, and that may help put a little more context around this proposed legislation. For those of you who study the National Labor Relations Act, take a look at Section 9CB, and that section says that after the NLRB processes a petition for union certification and determines there's a question of representation, it must then direct an election by secret ballot. And I do want to say that that part, direct an election by secret ballot, that's in quotes, that comes right from the statute. I think it's also important to know that Congress gave the board very broad discretion to establish procedures and safeguards necessary to ensure the fair and free choice of a bargaining representative. The board then delegated a lot, if not most, of that discretion to determine the specific arrangements for an election to the regional directors. If you look at the NLRB case handling manual, and that's kind of the Bible for the region, it in essence tells the regions how to run elections, how to handle ULP charges and the like. That case handling manual instructs that elections may be held manually at the employer's premises or other appropriate location by mail or via a combination of a mixed manual and mail ballot process. Historically, the NLRB has taken the position that representation elections should be conducted manually. That's the preferred method. Only where circumstances make it difficult, impractical, or not easily accomplished are mail ballots or mixed manual mail balloting processes used. An example might be where employees are not all based at the same location. Maybe they visit client sites, they work remotely, that kind of thing. The board has also repeatedly acknowledged the value of having a board agent present at the election, which is not possible in a mail ballot election. And that also has led to or has resulted in this presumption favoring a mail ballot process. And regardless, I'll just say this, in my 25 years plus of practice, if there's one thing the board does very well, is they conduct manual elections very well. They know what they're doing. They usually handle it appropriately. And there's also a certain, I guess, a synergy, you might call it, to having the election being held and then the votes being counted on that same day at that same time, so that there is at least initial results coming out of a manual ballot process, which really doesn't happen in a mail ballot election and wouldn't likely happen in electronic or telephonic process. While the regional director has discretion to consider a variety of factors in order to determine the appropriate means of voting, historically, traditionally, absent extraordinary circumstances, the regional director is expected to follow the referenced guidelines and case law has indicated that manual ballots are the preferred method. Prior to COVID-19, the board never really considered what constituted extraordinary circumstances. But as a result of the pandemic, there were virtually no elections held from March 19, 2020 through April 6, 2020. And so that certainly was an impetus for taking another look at what is an extraordinary circumstance. Prior to April 6, 2020, the board issued guidelines for regional directors to consider when conducting an election during the COVID pandemic. And those guidelines included consideration of things you would expect it to consider: staffing, safety, and the federal, state, and local laws and guidance that were in place for a particular area or at a particular time. Following that guidance, the regional directors determined that really just about all elections during this pandemic time should be conducted via mail ballot due to the, use the air quotes, extraordinary circumstances. There were a few manual ballots that were held during the pandemic. But as you'll see, I'll talk about some of the statistics in a minute, there weren't very many. Subsequently, the then NLRB General Counsel issued GC Memo 2010, and that memo set forth suggested protocols for conducting manual ballot elections, but continued to leave the decision in the discretion of the regional director, to leave the decision with the regional director whether a manual ballot using these suggested protocols or using a mail ballot election was most appropriate. To that end, we've seen some regional directors that have gradually resumed some manual ballot elections. Not a lot, but we're seeing some movement there. So despite the directives and guidance of the GC memo and a board case that further outlined or defined what extraordinary circumstances were or are, we're now faced with the Safe Workers Act, which would require, again, no discretion, would require electronic or telephonic voting. A few additional points about the bill. If passed, the NLRB would be required to effect the change to the electronic or telephonic voting system within 90 days after the enactment of the bill. But there's more. If the NLRB fails to implement its own voting system within 60 days after enactment, it will be, again, we have that word, required to enter into a temporary agreement, and that would be for the period 60 to 90 days after enactment, to use the systems and procedures used by the National Mediation Board to conduct representation elections under the Railway Labor Act. For those of you who are not familiar with the National Mediation Board elections or the Railway Labor Act, one of the reasons electronic voting procedures are used in those elections is because those elections often cover system-wide classes or crafts of employees, often involving thousands of employees located nationwide. And as you know, an NLRB election can be in a unit as small as two people and probably averages somewhere around a couple of hundred people. In addition, during the initial 60 days after the enactment, so before they can get an electronic or telephonic system in place, the NLRB will be, again, required to conduct all elections by mail ballot. As proposed, the requirements under the bill will end on the date on which a COVID-19 public health emergency is no longer in effect with respect to the worksite of a participant in an election as declared by federal, state, or local authority. Okay, want to say that again. So the bill seems to sunset, right? So once we are out of this COVID pandemic, this bill or these requirements appear as though they may go away. So you might say, well, what's the big deal? If this sunsets at the end of the pandemic, why are you even talking about it? Why do we even care? I think that anybody who's been involved in labor law or, frankly, legislation on a wide variety of different topics, you can see the problem with that perspective. As they say in law school, or we used to say in law school, this is the proverbial slippery slope. Yes, it seems to sunset at the end of the pandemic, but what does that actually really mean? Is somebody going to declare the end of the pandemic? And then once these systems are in place, what stops the board or Congress from saying, oh, this really wasn't so bad, it worked okay, why don't we require this going forward? Well, for those who oppose remote voting, including mail, electronic, or telephonic balloting, they point to the significant risks of fraud and coercion in these types of voting processes. Neither mail nor electronic or voting processes match the integrity and reliability of board-supervised manual ballot elections. And the data illustrates that manual ballot elections enjoy significantly higher voter participation. And I think we would all agree that voter participation and high voter participation is extremely important. The board's own statistics show that for the elections held from October 1, 2019 through March 14, 2020, the manual election ballot process resulted in an 85.2% participation rate. In the same time period, mail ballot elections resulted in only a 55% participation rate. Looking forward a little bit, from March 15, 2020 through September 30, 2020, the board conducted 46 manual ballot elections with a resulting 92.1% participation rate. Excellent, excellent participation rate. During that same time, the board conducted 432 mail ballot elections with a 72.4% participation rate. Now, admittedly, the mail ballot election participation rate went up during the COVID pandemic, during that time period, but it still is almost 20 percentage points off of the manual ballot participation rate. Based on those statistics, the board itself has said that in addition to the value of having a board agent present, manual elections tend to promote greater participation in the election process, and that's a good thing. Interestingly, Despite its own conclusions about participation, the widespread use of mail ballot elections over the last year, and the board's defense of mail balloting, the bill also directs the NLRB to immediately cease mail ballot election and conduct all elections by way of electronic or telephonic voting, unless the regional director determines those two processes are impractical. So just so we're clear, what the legislation says is that only if electronic or telephonic voting is impractical can the regional director direct the election to be held with a mail ballot process. It doesn't talk about fraud or coercion. It doesn't talk about participation. It doesn't talk about whether these methods will even work. The only basis for not having an electronic or telephonic election is if it's impractical. And I'm not even sure what that means. So kind of bringing this all back together again, this proposed legislation, the Safe Workers Act, this legislation essentially eliminates the discretion historically granted to the NLRB, which the NLRB delegates to the regional directors. It eliminates the statistically most effective process for voter turnout and implements a new and untested process for NLRB elections for the immediate near future. And the slippery slope, if you buy into that. Now that you have a better understanding of the discretion the NLRB and regional directors currently have, you may be asking why the Safe Workers Act is even necessary. And I think that's a legitimate question. One might think the existing criteria, along with the directives provided in recent case law, sufficiently guides a regional director's discretion for determining whether a manual ballot or a mail ballot election should be conducted. This approach also continues a longstanding practice of allowing a regional director to really look at the particular conditions of a location, of a group of employees, and make a determination whether those particular conditions impact the election and determine what type of process should be used. Safe Workers Act eliminates that discretion and replaces it with mandates that allow for no consideration of the existing conditions of a particular worksite or a location in general. You couple that with the default mail ballot election process, a process that has been shown to limit the participation of the proposed bargaining unit, and it does make you wonder why such legislation is even necessary and what is the real goal behind it. And unfortunately, I don't have a good answer for that, so I'll leave that question to you and kind of wrap up with letting you know that HR 308 has been referred for consideration to the House Education and Labor Committee. So I guess we'll wait and see what happens there. So that's it for today, for our time today. I usually end our podcast with a quote. Given today's subject matter, I thought I'd revert to an oldie but a goodie. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think there may be a lot of people who think there are things that can be improved about the election process, but at least here, I'm not sure if the Safe Workers Act actually does that. Thanks for joining us. And remember, if there are topics you'd like us to cover on Third Thursdays, let me know.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.